question or comment? Need savvy travel advice? Connect with Robert, Mary, and Rudy anytime on Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter at RM World Travel. Now, back to RM World Travel.
Thanks for staying with us through the break. Robert and Mary now back with you for segment two this hour and our first personal connection episode of 2019, Mary.
I'm looking forward to this.
Yes,
I like these
episodes. Forward to this. And what are we going to talk to you about, folks? We're going to introduce you to a world record holder for visiting all 196 countries out there. But first, a brief word about Princess Cruise Lines. For your next ocean cruise, Princess, well, they've asked us to share with you five great reasons to cruise with them, and they offer the best cruise line itineraries, immersive shore excursions, exclusive discovery at sea activities, fresh, authentic culinary experiences, memorable celebrations, and more. That's a lot. Check out princess.com for additional information. You can also find out specials there or find a link at rmworldtravel.com under sponsors.
James Asquith is only 29 years old, but by the age of 24, he'd already completed a five-year around-the-world tour to visit all 196 sovereign countries. He currently holds the Guinness World Record as the youngest person to have completed that feat, and as I'm sure you can imagine, that certainly included some harrowing experiences in some of the more dangerous countries, including those in active war zones. Why did he do it, and what did he learn from his journey? Well, James is holding on the line, so let's get right to him for today's Personal Connection episode.
Hello, James. Thanks for joining Mary and me on RM World Travel all the way from Barcelona today.
Thanks very much for having me, guys.
Really appreciate you being here. Listen, you know, we respect your accomplishment and congratulate you on being recognized by Guinness as the youngest person to have visited all of the countries in the world. So congratulations. A major feat, certainly.
Really, Thank you.
Well, you're very welcome, I mean, for sure. I'd like to know what inspired you to complete this around the world journey. And we understand your dad was a pilot, so did that have any impact in you traveling as a kid, obviously? Is that what started this?
Yeah, for sure, absolutely. I got kind of my adventurous side, I guess, from my parents. My mum used to jump out of planes, my dad used to fly them. That's actually how they met. My dad was my mum's flying instructor, so I'm not sure how I think about that, but anyway. And yeah, certainly my dad was always traveling, and I never really picked up the travel bug too much until I was 18, I guess. I went away with a couple of friends. I actually booked a trip to Mombasa in Kenya. I think it was kind of some kind of protest. I'd broken up with a girlfriend at the time and thought, hey, you know what, I'm going to get out of here to somewhere that's completely random. And the ironic thing is I've actually still never been to Mombasa. I never made that trip. I went away with some of my best friends, did some volunteer work out in Vietnam, and I just got carried away from there.
All right, so we found a place that you can still go to with all your travels. So, James, your book, Breaking Borders, addresses your five-year journey, and it certainly covers some of the more dangerous situations that you found yourself in, including knives to your throat, you've had guns pointed at your head, some really serious stuff. How did you find the motivation after some of these big scares to keep going, and was there ever a point where you thought, all right, I'm done, I can't do this anymore?
There certainly wasn't a point where I thought I couldn't do it anymore. Probably the biggest thing that I kept along the journey was a massive sense of humor. That sounds kind of, I guess, a bit weird in those situations. But, you know, along the way, I kind of backed that in general, you know, 99.9% of the world is, you know, a great people and wants
right.
good things.
Right.
So, you know, along the way, that was always the thing that I had, you know, taking me forward on the journey.
Right.
And yeah, as I said, you know, a sense of humor when things are really, really bad. I just try to keep smiling, I guess.
Right. And, you know, that's such a great point that you bring up, and it leads me into the next question I want to ask you in terms of people around the world and humanity in general and the majority of people being good. We often find when we travel that really no matter the culture, when it comes down to it, we find people really are the same. We want the same things. We want safety, security for our families, love, our friends. Is that what you would say as well or agree with along your travels? And I'd love to know what culture of people really inspired you the most.
For sure, without a doubt. It was going back to when I went to Vietnam, for example. I went to a place that was pretty remote down in the south. We were building houses. I had no idea what I was doing. Gave it my best shot, though. And, you know, we were in a place where I couldn't speak Vietnamese and the locals couldn't speak English. And every single day, these welcoming people would invite us into their houses and say, hey, you know, come for dinner. And we couldn't communicate, but just almost like just the same things that people find funny around the world through, you know, signs and expressions. Just it really does resonate kind of with everyone. And it does kind of show just how similar we all are as well. There's been many occasions where I've been, you know, helped out by the kindness of people. I remember one example, I was a bit of an idiot. I thought wrongly. I was being kidnapped and when I was driving to Somalia, and I jumped out of a moving car and kind of jammed my hand in the door, and this guy in the car was just looking back at me thinking, God, you're such an idiot. Because it was just, you know, in my head and probably paranoia at the time. But, you know, I remember going to the hospital and I had no money left on me, and and all the doctors kind of chipped in and got my hospital bills and were trying to fix my hand up. And there's a ton of times like that that I look back on where
it has to help.
Oh my gosh, what a story.
Yeah, there has to be with what you're saying on that, with all the places that you've been. And I don't even want, that's a whole nother story and a whole nother segment I'm sure we could do on how you confuse being kidnapped there. So I don't want to go in there right now. But you know, I do want to ask you this, because I want to make sure I have this right. When I heard this, I was like, really? You know, we understand that after your journey, you chose to give away your airline miles. And James, I mean, travel to 196 countries had to be an astounding number. So what inspired that generosity? And how many miles did you actually give away?
Firstly, if I'm honest, I was actually on a plane at the time, and I'd had a few drinks when I decided to give them all away.
All right, I understand a little more now. That's good. All right, fine.
That's actually how it started. But it's all about giving back. And at the end of the day, for me, I live, I guess you could call me a nomad. I'm always traveling. I'm always on the road. And there really aren't too many things that I need. I have a very small bag when I travel, and I'm very unmaterialistic. If you kind of see pictures of me, and all of my friends and people that know me are saying, "Do you have any other clothes? Are you So for me, it's really not about kind of what I necessarily have, and I need to give back, and I think everyone does. It's always a case that people say to me, "Hey, I'd love to travel more and travel like you did." And look, at the end of the day, I want to inspire travel. And I think it's the time that we are the happiest, you know, whether it's you want to go and take that solo trip and enjoy some time alone. If you want to reconnect with people, go see people the other side of the world that you know, or with your families. You know, all of it is when we're the happiest. We don't have to sit there and worry about, you know, that bill that comes in. You say, you know what, I will deal with that when I get back home.
How many total miles there have you given away so far?
So on that scheme, it was they all vary by scheme. So this was 350,000 miles, but they're basically closer to real miles with the Avios scheme that it was, which
350.
It was
okay.
Yeah, it's about enough to fly around the world three times in business class or multiple other times, I guess, if you want. So
that was certainly a great thing for you to do. And you made a comment just now, going back to the fact that, and I think we would both agree with you, that travel certainly provides a sense of freedom, and that's a great feeling, and we can kind of get away. But I do want you to touch on something that you're doing in Yemen on a different note here. I want to switch gears, because Yemen is a country that you've been to. It's notoriously difficult to get into, but you've spent some time there, and it's really, it's impressed you and inspired you. I'm not sure those are the right words. Maybe it's moved you. What are the initiatives that you're working on for the people in Yemen?
Yes, this is something that's very important to me. At the moment, for me, it was incredibly underreported in the media, the situation in Yemen, as many situations are, until kind of people get more knowledge of it. And from my perspective, I thought, look, you know, people kind of follow a lot of what I do on my travels, and instead of just sitting and taking nice pictures, and, you know, that's kind of what Instagram's become, people say, hey, look at me, I've got this really great life. You know, I need to be able to use a platform that I have to show people actually something that means something and needs attention. And 80% of the country in Yemen is on the brink of famine. That's 22 million people. It's incredible how large that number is, and how, you know, choked the country has become from a war that's been going on for 3 years.
Did I see that you're working with UNICEF?
Yes, it was. Yeah. It's with UNICEF that we're trying to deliver aid and supplies and bring awareness to the situation there.
Well,
great work that you're doing there, certainly. Last thing I'm going to ask, if you could just let people know, they want to follow your adventures, James, and all of the things that you're doing, or learn more, where should people go to find out?
So everything is on my Instagram page. That's where I kind of put most of my journey and my travels. It's James Asquith Travel is my page.
Okay.
So, and we're going to put a link to that up on our social media sites for anyone who's listening. You can find it there as well. James, really moving story, great story. We would love to have you come back and tell us some more of your adventures and hear more about that great work you're doing in Yemen.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you, Robert Mary.
Well, thank you very much. Very nice to meet you electronically. Enjoy your travels and have safe travels too.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right. Just released James. He's off in Barcelona there. 196 countries. Clearly, Mary, James has a lot more travel ahead than him, for sure.
He certainly does, and doing lots of great work.
And if you did not get his Instagram page, it's at James Asquith, A-S-Q-U-I-T-H, travel, at James Asquith Travel, and we will post a link on that as well. Right now, we're going to take a quick break. So this is an excellent time for you to connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at RM World Travel. After these sponsor messages, there's more RM World Travel coming right up. Stay with us.
To join Robert, Mary, and Rudy, call 800-387-8025 or follow us on Facebook and Twitter at RM World Travel. We're coming right back.